The outline of a deal may indeed have been drawn up to bring back Stormont. An Irish Language Act, as you've been hearing this morning, is at the heart of the brinkmanship. And which one of the two political parties are going to do a U-turn? If it is the DUP and they're going to agree to some type of Irish Language Act, then this is the promise that Arlene Foster is breaking.
Are you serious? You think that the DUP should implement an Irish Language Act as some sort of a magnanimous step for Sinn Féin? We will never accede to an Irish language.
And if that isn't the case, and an Irish Language Act is not going to happen, then Sinn Féin are breaking their promise.
There will be no return to the Assembly or the Executive without a standalone Irish Language Act and agreement on the resolution of other outstanding issues.
We're currently talking to Kieran McGillivine, who is from Conroy na Gaeilge. Good morning again, Kieran.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the loyalist Jamie Bryson joining us now as well. Jamie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. So, Kieran, you were in the middle era of spelling out to us that you think that as part of this agreement, that what Sinn Féin should be insisting upon is that every street sign in Northern Ireland is phased into, an introduction is phased into bringing Irish into every street sign in Northern Ireland. What about public services, Kieran?
Well, that's correct. Just on the issue of signage there, Stephen, just to add a further point to that, in the mouth of, after the Leafa scandal, if you remember, Paul Given stated that the Irish language belongs to us all, and I think Arlene Foster echoed those sentiments as well. So if they are sincere about that, then genuinely, what is the problem with a Irish language appearing on signs, given that 95% of our place names have been transliterated? Yeah. How do the words or the sight of these words in Irish offend people? Well, as I said earlier, I think that attitude and that needs to be tackled.
Well, have a listen to how Jimmy Bryson feels about it.
Well, you know, I think this morning that gives a perfect example of why unionism is so absolutely opposed to any further Irish language provision. The Irish language lobby are seriously on your show essentially advocating that Irish signs should be forced upon the people in East Belfast, on the Shankill Road, and in loyalist communities. They are seriously advocating that, and they honestly and genuinely believe that unionism should accede to that. Well, unionism, and look, I speak for myself, I don't speak for the whole of unionism, but I think I'm on pretty safe territory when I say no unionist could possibly accept enforced Irish street signs. And the DUP need to be extremely careful here, and they need to be careful even within their own party, because my understanding is many people within their own party have not seen the detail of this deal. They've only seen it at 10 o'clock this morning. I haven't, but if my information's correct, what's been muted, the negotiating team will be sent by way of fleeing there and told absolutely not. So no form of further legislative provision for the Irish language, in my personal view, is acceptable.
Why not?
My understanding is what the DUP negotiating team were going to try and sell was that further legislative provision for what they would claim Irish speakers already have. And that is how the DUP were planning and trying to sell this. They were going to say, well, look, they already have certain rights in relation to translation and whatever else in common practice in the public sphere in certain areas. So we will legislate for that, and we will copper fasten that in legislation, and the DUP will want to try and sell that. But let's be clear.
And what would be wrong with that?
That is also on it. Well, what is wrong with that is because it has been outlined on Friday, it has been outlined on your show this morning about where this is all headed. And where this is all headed is Irish being forced down the throats of the unionist community. You're seriously on your show this morning. It is being advocated that the people in East Belfast, on the Shankill Road and Bangor, are going to have Irish signs enforced upon them.
Well, Kieran, do you want to respond to that?
Enforced upon them.
I mean, it's interesting to see examples that can be used there. East Belfast, Shankill and Bangor, all of which obviously are very, very rich with Irish language place names. I mean, what is the problem with Knocknagony in East Belfast, for instance? What's the raise from Crocknagonyany? What is
the problem is that people don't want it.
Crocknagonyany, they're side by side. But here, excuse me, Jimmy, if I can't. And here's where the crux of the issue is, Stephen, here. We've been told throughout the duration of this debate that one of the main arguments against visibility and against semis was that it would be used to demarcate territory. The idea being, or the understanding being, that this would only exist in nationalist areas and therefore there would be a clear demarcation of territory, and that that runs against the grain of everything we're trying to do to build a shared society. So that leaves us with two options then. Either you have semis everywhere or you have semis nowhere. Now, the Irish language community, the idea that the Irish language will go back to being invisible, will go back to being voiceless, will go back to being not seen and not heard in this state and this society, is no longer tenable.
What do you...
and won't build a sustainable peace that we want to build here.
What do you think would be the reaction, Kieran, honestly, if Irish language street signs were put up in the streets within the Shankill?
Well, I mean, Stephen, the people...
What do you honestly think would be the reaction?
Listen, I have no doubt that at the start that there would be some concern around that, and that's why we're talking about introducing the phrase. But I genuinely believe, Stephen, that this has been overblown. I genuinely believe.
I think, honestly, you're boxing Sinn Féin in this morning, because I'm telling you, if Sinn Féin were close to getting some concessions, I think the examples that you've given live in the Nolan Show this morning has put Sinn Féin in an extremely difficult position, because they're now going to have to push harder. But it has also, thankfully...
Well, Sinn Féin isn't Conor and Gaeilge.
Well, we'll not get into that.
Jamie, if you want to. I mean,
it has also put the DUP in the position where the DUP now, how they have heard where this is going. The unionist people have heard where this is going. So the planned spin about the day we're only going to legislate in Copperfast and what was already there will not work. So no matter how the DUP negotiating team try and dress this up, and I think many people are looking to those big personalities in the DUP MLA team. They're looking to the MPs at Westminster, people like Ian Paisley, people like Sammy Wilson, and they are looking to them to stand up to the DUP negotiating team and tell them, no, this is not acceptable, and we're not having it.
Jimmy, was Paul Given right when he stated in January of last year that the Irish language belongs to us all?
Well, look, if people want to speak the Irish language as a hobby, if the language is to be protected, if the language is to be supported, it has already massive amount of public funds lavished upon it. But the key here is this is not really all about Irish. This is about advancing a political agenda. And I go back to the point, because it is, I think this morning you have done unionism a fantastic service. You have advocated that Irish would be enforced upon the people of East Belfast, upon the people of the Shankill, upon unionist areas that doesn't want it. And thank you for doing that, because I think now it's very clear that the DUP need to go back to that negotiating table, and whatever they've agreed...
Well, you don't know what they've agreed, and Sinn Féin, and the DUP's position may very well not be in any way aligned with what Kieran wants.
The DUP position was that they were going to allow some legislative provision for what they would...
Well, how do you know?
Well, I know. That was the DUP position of the negotiating team. That was the position of the DUP.
You have spoken to senior people within the DUP, have you?
Look, I'm not getting into that, but I'm telling you this morning that the outline of the deal at 10 o'clock is going before the DUP MLA team. And there's many DUP MLAs who had not seen the detail of it and will be appalled to hear that there's going to be any legislative provision. But what the negotiating team were going to try and sell was further legislative provision for the Irish language, cooked up under some other guys. And what they would say to DUP supporters and to the grassroots was, look, Irish speakers already have these provisions.
Yeah, this is hearsay, Jimmy.
No, I do. It's fact. That is what they were going to try and sell. So they now need to think again. And
Kieran,
I trust this morning they will be told to think again.
Kieran, what role do you see, because I heard from senior DUP sources that a commissioner was to be put on the table as part of this deal, and you mentioned the language commissioner a moment ago. So what do you want a commissioner to do? What role would this language commissioner carry out?
Yeah, well, in simple terms, Stephen, the role of the commissioner would be to ensure the effective and consistent implementation of the legislation. They would also be in charge of, for instance, in terms of public services, that I know there's an awful lot of perhaps misinformation about, that there would be kind of similar to models that have already existed in other jurisdictions, including Wales, that there would be a grading system whereby those companies with more interface with the community would have certain obligations. We have to have an independent commissioner to do that.
So a commissioner would enforce that?
And the commissioner would carry out the grading system and ensure compliance with it.
What do you mean a grading system? What do you mean?
So, for instance, if we have say, for instance, 100 public authorities here, not all the public authorities would have the same level of interface with the community as others would. Not all of them would have the same interface with young people. For instance, well, the majority of Irish speakers are
What's
young.
The point?
So the point would be that the grievance system, and they would say, well, the companies in Band A would have more obligations under the legislation than the companies in Band C. So,
but I thought you told us just at the end of last week in the Nolan Show that you wanted all public services to be able to interact in English and for that, sorry, in Irish, and for that to be phased in.
No, Stephen, what I said was, I reiterated the point that I've just made this morning here, is that there would be a grading system so that the education authority, in that example that I used there, would have more obligations than, for instance, the water agency, that have very little interface with the public. We still have deficiencies in terms of hard.
Yes, but any agencies that interface with the public, they would have to be able to interact in Irish. Is that right?
Well, the idea being that over time that would be the trend, that would be the situation that we find ourselves.
Every one of them.
Well, not every one of them.
Any public service, just to be clear, any public service that interacts directly with the public over time, so it would be phased in, but eventually you would want every one of those public services speaking Irish as well as English.
I would want them to be able to afford the right of people to use that service to the Irish, yes.
Jimmy?
Correct.
Well, obviously, the overall agenda is to green public services by providing more employment opportunities to those that speak Irish. You know, if somebody goes for a job and they can speak Irish and English, and a person goes for a job that can only speak English, then the ultimate objective is for the person who can speak the two languages will be given an employment advantage. But look, I go back to the point. We don't need to talk about this anymore. It's been made clear on your show. The ultimate objective is to force Irish upon unionist communities. That's the ultimate objective. We can't get away from that. The DUP can't get away from that. The Irish language lobby has been clear on Friday, has been clear on your show today. So I hope the DUP are listening. There we go. This is where this ends. This is where this eventually ends. And if it starts with one legislative division...
Well, of course, you're anti-agreement. You want this to end before it started. You don't want the two political parties. You have no mandate. The two political parties that have huge mandates in Northern Ireland are trying to find a way through this, trying to find a compromise.
Stephen, they are entitled to do so. But me, as an individual, I'm perfectly entitled to do anything that I feel that I can to do what I think is right. And, you know, look, I called for direct rule on your show in 2012. And when we actually think about that, if you go back and get the tape, everybody laughed at me and mocked me. And now I think many people agree that maybe direct rule is the best way forward.
Kieran and Jimmy, thank you very much.